This family-owned and operated company has been in our area since 1946 and treats you like family. David Vaughn of Vaughn's Monument Works is with us today. Welcome, David.
Good morning, and thank you for inviting me to come for the interview today.
So, 1946, that's yes. quite the record, I feel like, of businesses in our community.
That's a long time, yes, and we're quite a family-run business, and started out with my dad, June 3rd, 1946, and he worked hard at first. No, he'd have to go door to door.
He did go door to door?
Yes.
Yeah, because there's no internet at the
no
time.
No internet. No, that's right. Then as time went on, his dad came in, my grandfather, and he worked in with my dad for a couple of years till ill health, and he, of course, that went by the side. Then him and my mother, they worked in the business, and they, of course, had a crew. And me and my brother would go to school. And after school, of course, we'd come down to the shop. Couldn't wait to get down to the shop and play around.
Make some monuments.
Yeah.
What was your dad's walking door to door, telling yes. people what he has going on? What's his pitch to people? What's he saying?
Well, what he would do, he, of course, would, like a salesman, he'd tell him who he is and what he represented, and would inquire about the monuments, and would they be interested in him showing him what he's got to offer.
And at that time, what was the main product of a monument that he was putting out there? You think of monuments sometimes as statues.
He would get just a basic, simple stones back then, nothing elaborate. Back then, they just had what we call the bread and butter, just a standard monument, which was typically used in that era because of the manufacturing process. It was hard to produce the stones because mainly it was all handwork. And that's what, and now that has drastically changed.
So were the monuments being used for tombstones?
Yes.
Mainly?
Mainly tombstones for families.
Which is an interesting knock on the door. Hi, when you think about dying,
yeah.
I'm your guy.
Yeah.
That's got to be, you know.
Yeah, and like I told him years later, I said, you know, if we used to go up and knock on the door today like that, well, we'd be get a door slammed in our face. and he said, well, Dave, back then, that was all people done.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you went door to door. There wasn't no such thing as having an office and them coming in.
Well, and I'm guessing at that time, too, the community was more spread out. So it wasn't that he could just kind of walk in an area. You know, it was like drive to you know, an area, and, you know, it wasn't, things weren't so, there was a lot more sprawling.
Yes, and that's true. Many a time he would get in his car and take us all this material, and he'd take a briefcase with him because he would stay overnight just to try to sell. And he might be gone for maybe 2 to 3 days on the road.
What made him want to start this?
Well, his cousin and worked at Cookville Marble and Granite, which is an old established business, was established in 1890. And his cousin would work there, and he told him one day, he said, Charles, he said, me and you need to get going business together. So he thought about it, and he said, well, let's just do it.
They didn't know what business, though.
Well, they didn't know a whole lot about the monument business, and, of course, he was trying to learn. So then he knew this man he rented this building from. And he just started from there, from the build-up. And he had inquired people to come in to do the lettering of the stones, sandblasting of the stones, and also...
He didn't know how to do that himself at that time.
Just vaguely, just a little, mm-hmm. not much. So, but he did find some qualified people to help out, and that freed him up to do the selling part.
Mm-hmm.
And but the selling part, that's the main. You've got to get out and sell before you can do any work at all.
Yeah. You can make all the monuments you want, but if there's nobody to buy them.
Nobody buy them, no.
And in 1946, logistics, transportation was not like it was now. You weren't having a big FedEx truck pull up to the building.
No.
Were you getting the stones via, was that when the train was coming through here?
Well, the train did come through, but what my dad would do, he would go down to the place called Elberton, Georgia, and they would have quarries down there, and he would pick the granite up already pre-shaped, and he would bring it up and then do the lettering and set it himself that way. There was one, well, back to Coco Marble Granite, they did have a rail that come up beside of them, and they would get the blocks, and saw and polish, but that was years ago. But they later found out that that was too expensive.
Mm.
So they started doing this like we do. We get them already pre-shaped, and they're shipped up to our place, and we do all the lettering and the design work, sandblasting and setting.
So when you were a kid and you'd go to school, come, you know, rush over to the shop, mm-hmm. what kind of projects were you working on? What are you doing? Well, you and your brother, you said, right?
Yeah. Well, what I'd do, I'd be like Dennis the Menace. I'd aggravate everybody. And especially one guy, he was a sandblaster, and I'd aggravate him. I'd pick up sand and I'd throw it at him. He said, "You keep on throwing that sand, I'm going to throw you in the sandblast rim and I'm going to sandblast you." I said, "You ain't big enough." Oh, that was the wrong thing. He grabbed me, I see the bridge, and he throwed me in that sandblast rim. And at the time, the sandblast was running. Of course, he just aimed it up, straight up. And the sand was going all over me. And I was beating on the door to get out. And he finally let the door open. I went running up there to my dad, covered in sand. And he said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Ernest there, he put me in a sandblast rim, was throwing the sand, turned the sandblaster on me." He said, "What did you do?" I said, "Well, I was aggravated." He said, "Well, that's good enough."
You deserved it.
Deserved.
So at that time, did your dad think that there was a chance? You know, when you start a business,
yeah,
you might hope that you have kin that will keep the business going, but that's just a hope.
Yeah.
You know, when you have little kids, you have no idea what if they're going to buy into what you're doing.
Yeah. But later on, of course, as I get older, I would come in after school and try to learn the trade some. Yes.
Was your brother interested as well?
Yes, he was interested too. And me and him worked together side by side in the business. And then later, of course, we moved to another temporary location from the original location. And it was over where the library is now, Putnam County Library. And we had just a temporary building there from 67 to 70. And then we was going to have to move. So he found this property down on Spring Street. And luckily the house next door was for sale. So he bought the two properties. And then he established his business there and lived next door. And then, of course, that when we moved to the new location, that's where we really started spreading out and getting more business. And, of course, we had to get more qualified help to help. And so that's, and we're glad we've moved to the new location, and it's quadrupled in business now.
How has working with your brother, was that, you know, working with family can sometimes be difficult?
In some cases, but we got along great. We would work together as a team. And, of course, sometimes you have a little spat. Everybody does. But nothing.
Always be able to fix it and see the
always,
business.
Yeah, patch it up and go on. Then later on, my sister, she came into the business to work. And we all three worked together with my mother and dad in the business. And tragically, though, my brother at 41, he died of cancer.
Mm.
And, of course, that put, and my sister was there with me, too. And we continued working on. Then later, a couple of years later, my brother died, and my sister died in 2015,
mm.
and of the dreaded cancer. And then later on, my parents died. So
you're the sole provider, at the moment.
Yeah.
More on the way with David Vaughn of Vaughn's Monuments coming up. Welcome back. I have David Vaughn of Vaughn's Monument Works in this morning. So family business since 1946. All your family has gone on to greener pastures, left you alone.
Yep.
So what's, you don't have children yourself?
Well, I've got a stepdaughter, and I consider my daughter.
Yeah.
And but I can't get her to come in because she's in the real estate.
Well, and I would think that this is it's such a niche business.
Yes.
Kind of, you don't even think about, I mean, nobody wants to think about dying. Nobody wants to mm-hmm. think about a tombstone.
No.
I think there's been more of a cremation kind of mm-hmm. path of people these days. So it is definitely an interesting, it's kind of like the people that do the makeup for
yes.
you know, or right. running a funeral home or, right. you know, those kind of things. And there are some family funeral homes in town.
Yes.
So it's just, it is something that it's like, you know, do I want to get involved in this family business? So do you have a succession plan planned?
Yes, I do.
You're going to deem somebody a Vaughn so that they can...
so they continue on, yes. My nephew and niece, they're in behind me. And first thing they said when they, after my parents died, they said, Uncle Dave, you're not going to retire, are you? And I said, no. I said, I'm going to work as long as I'm able.
Mm-hmm.
But I enjoy doing it, and then in this way of success, and I can show them the pointers of what how to succeed in business. And they have done a great job, both of them have. And
are these your sister's children or your brother's? Do they have the Vaughn name?
Yeah, they have the Vaughn name.
Okay.
That's right.
That's good. That helps keep the Vaughn name alive.
That's it. And I've got... two grandchildren, of course. Now they're not of age right now, but
by the time you're ready to retire, they might be.
They may be, especially the grandson. Now he's around bunks, he's into everything.
Has he been put in the sandblast room yet, or not? Not yet.
No.
So tell me, you know, just even the way your marketing and business has changed over the years.
Yes.
You know, you're not having to travel for 2 or 3 days
no.
and stay in hotels to market
no.
things. How has the process of making a monument changed since 1946?
The process has really changed. Used to, the only way you could letter the stones is we have a rubber stencil we put on the stone, and then we draw up the designs, and we got like a little letter board that had hand-cut letters. You'd cut it all out by hand. And that was when we first started. Then they made a letter board, which would pre-cut the letters, which was speeding up production. But still, we do the design work by hand. And now it's all computerized.
Mm-hmm.
And it has drastically changed the monument industry. If you can draw it, they can cut it. And we can, and design-wise, whatever can be done, and whatever design the family wants, whether customized or standard, no problem at all.
I'm guessing most often people are not coming to you in the most joyous times of their life. How does that weigh on you over, you know, even though it wasn't your business in 1946, you've been involved in this business for years. Does that feel like a heavy responsibility to work with these families when they are in often, I mean, there's other projects you've done, but often they're in, you know, a rough time of their lives?
Yes. We run into situations where families come in. We had one family. All the family was together. And this was the first time they'd been together in a long time. And they came in just for the funeral. And they came by our shop and they said, "Well, you just buried my mom. Her dad has deceased. But they said, we won't buy a stone for mom and dad while we're here because this would be the only time we're all together." Mm. And my advice to them, I tell them, I says, in this situation, your state of mind, you can make a rational decision. And I said, it's advisable to think about this. But we're glad to give you literature, let you look at it, and then take time, my advice.
Mm-hmm.
And some do that. Then some, they said, "Well, we just want to get it over with. We're here. Let's just do it."
Mm-hmm.
But that's how the people, their views has changed, too. On monuments, when buying the stones, they'll come in. We'll show them what we have to offer. And we get a lot of pre-needs where both people are still alive. And we see more of that now because what this does, this puts less pressure on the spouse and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And we found now that we have a lot of people doing that, greater percentage than ever.
I'm sure. So aside from headstones, what other types of monuments have you worked on? Are there some unusual, you know, besides the placards, maybe, or we mentioned that you were involved with the Heart of the City Playground, the brick pavers that went in there.
Yes, we do a lot of projects for the government. There, we've made several government memorials, and we also do a lot of pet stones.
Mm.
And surprisingly, you think, well, people buy stones for pets. Yeah.
Yeah. People do anything for their pets.
Oh, yeah. And then we do the civic memorials. We do projects for families. Like now I'm working on some signs that goes to a golf course in Chattanooga. And they're just markings, and there's several of them I'm going to have to complete.
What's the most unusual project that you've gotten to work on?
One comes to mind is that this man came in one morning and he said, "David, I'm interested in a red single stone." I said, "Okay." I said, "I've got one up here on the yard and we can take a look at it." Well, He went up there and looked at it, and he said, "That's exactly what the color I want, and can you make it just a little larger?" I said, "Sure." So we agreed on the size that he wanted. Came in and was going to take the information. And I said, "What's the person's name?" He said, "Choctaw Chief Number 2. I said, "What?" And he laughed. He said, "Oh, David, I forgot to tell you, this is for my pet Brahma bull." And he said, "I raised this bull from a calf. And everywhere I went, go on this farm, that old bull would follow me." And he said, "One day I was out selling some cattle. And some guys out there looking at the cattle, and the old bull was in the other end of the field. Well, he raised his head, he seen me. Here he come running. And the guys are scattered. And he hollered, 'Don't run, don't run.' They said, 'All he wants you to do is just pet him.'"
We'll be right back. Thanks for sticking with us. I have David Vaughn of Vaughn's Monument Works in this morning, talking about all the things monuments, talking about all the random things that people can do with monuments. I do think you don't really think of, I was just at a nicer golf course this past weekend, and, you know, each of their hole markers had, you know, kind of an engraving, I guess, for lack of a better word of my, yes. I don't know all the terms, but, you know, kind of the hole marker, the distance, sure, all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
You don't necessarily think that that is probably the same process of as a tombstone, and even the fill colors are different,
right,
you know,
right,
in things. There was, I think they're, you know, the ladies' tees are one color and the, you know, pro tees are another color. And they had all those different colors etched into the stone as well. And so, how have things changed? Again, you know, just the process of making the monuments is different, but how has the material changed over the years?
Okay, basically years ago, they were just limited to the colors of the monuments due to the quarrying process. And now, worldwide, there's over 60 different colors available. And some are sort of good for making the monuments, and the majority of them, though, are real good materials in granite.
Do you remember anything over the process of once you really started getting involved in the business that was just such a game changer? Like, this is going to change. You know, I'm sure marketing-wise, the internet, really, that changed things tremendously. You said you have clients down in Chattanooga that your dad probably drove down there and made a presence in Chattanooga at that time. But, you know, what in your business do you think has really, it's 46 years, or I'm sorry, 1946, you know, this Vaughn's Monument Works is going to be a 100-year business, and yes, not that long.
Not
from
that
now.
Long.
You know, and in the Cookeville landscape of things, that's forever.
Oh.
So, and, you know, has there been that you recall that you thought this is a game changer for us as a business?
It sure is. It's a game changer. And of course, as time changes, you know, you got to change with the times. You've got to stay in contact with your next available quarries and what's out there. And you've got, number two, you've got to keep good help.
Mm-hmm.
Help is very important.
Well, and it's a skilled trade at this point, right?
Yes, it's a very skilled trade. And that's some, you know, from the outside looking in, they think, well, you just mold these rocks. And they're not basic work into it. And I said, well, there's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But I explained to them, from the quarries to the sitting in the cemetery, it changes through a lot of hands. And the marketing process, you know, we market it out throughout the whole up-and-coming area. And we cover from Kentucky border down to the Alabama border to Knoxville to Nashville. all points in between.
What, you know, you're a family run business, and then you have this goal of creating a family environment for your customers that come yes. in. How important has that been to you to stick with that? I'm sure that's something maybe your dad kind of instilled in you early on. But customer service is not always something that comes natural to people. And how important has that, the elements of making people feel like family, been to you as you've taken over the business?
Well, we try, when people come on the yard, we try to just talk to them like we're sitting here talking, make them feel at ease. Because a lot of people is emotional,
mm-hmm.
and you have to get down to their level, we might say. Talk with them one-on-one, talked about different aspects of different situations. And number one, though, we don't never say, how are you doing today?
Hmm.
That's number one word, don't say. And because I accidentally said that one time. And this guy said, well, if I was real good, I wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
If I was in better shape, you know. And but we make people at ease. We as you can see, I got my uniform on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically me. And people said, well, we thought you'd be with a suit and tie. And I said, no. I said, I'm just like an average person. When they come in the office, we make them feel at ease. We have a round table. We sit and talk. And it may take 30 minutes, up to 3 hours.
Has it been important for you to know all the aspects? When you're in charge, you know, it can, people can kind of lean back and say, well, that person does that. I don't know what they do. They're just, you know, yeah. Kind of delegate and not be involved. Has it been important for you to know the process of how the monuments are made through each step of the process? Like you said, it changes a lot of hands.
Yes.
Has that been important for you to learn over the years?
Yeah, very, very. Because if you learn every aspect of the business, that's like my secretary's there. I tell her, I said, you need to learn every aspect of the business. And the guys at works, I tell them, you need to learn every aspect. But it's important for them because they're out there with the public and they're meeting them. And that makes them feel at ease.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know what they're doing. They know what the hell to talk with the family. And that's what we're there for, is to make them at ease.
Yeah. So 1946, we're, you know, maybe 20 years away from.
Mm-hmm.
So we're almost at 80 years in business,
yep.
which is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, what do you have a niece and nephew that are involved. So, and a grandson that maybe, you know,
yeah.
he's the Dennis the Menace of the time
yeah.
right now. You know, what's your hope for, you know, 2046, what do you hope to have Vaughn's Monument Works look like in 2046?
The legacy I want to leave is for the longevity in business and treating people like you want to be treated yourself. That's our motto. And that's the way, and number one, I always put this point out. And people says, why you contribute your longevity in business? I said, number one, you put God first. Mm-hmm. Two, you put your family. Then three, business, in that order.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do those three in that order, you'll be successful.
And do you think you've implanted that in the future generations enough that they embrace that as well?
Yes, and I've talked to them about that saying, and they agree.
Yeah. I think, like I said, you know, an 80-year business in the Cookeville landscape, I've seen, I've lived here since 2013, so almost 12 years. And I've seen, I call it the graveyard of businesses, of that people start up this business, they do it for 6 months, a year, 2 years, and it's done. And so to have a business for 80 years and looking towards, you know, a possible 100 years, it's, that's really commendable. And so making sure that you've ensured the succession plan, you're not quite, you know, as ripe, you know, young and as you used to be. And so, you know, making sure that there are people in the future that can keep this, you know, alive and going, whether you're here or not.
That's right. I told him, I said, I was a kid one day, and they said, when are you going to retire, Uncle Dave? I said, when you carry me out.
There you go. I think, well, and you really, truly enjoy what you're doing, and you feel like you're leaving, you know, it's important work.
Yes, and because being successful in business, you've got to work at it, because you can't just let it go and do other aspects. You've got to be in the front. You've got to make sure, because that's where your business comes from, is meeting and greeting the family first. Then that makes a, like a trail, comes from the top, comes all the way down to the people who works in the shop, to the setters. Because you've got to make every aspect the goal to do the right thing.
So if people want to find you, how can people find Vaughn's Monument Works? Is it easier to come into the shop? Is it easier to find online?
We can do both. We do sell to families out of state. They'll call and get a quote, and they'll say, well, about setting the stone. I said, well, we can do two ways. We can ship it to the nearest dealer, or you can come down and pick the stone up and set it yourself.
So do people contact you on a website?
Yes, they do.
What's the website address?
It's vaughnsmonumentworks@gmail.com.
vaughnsmonumentworks@gmail.com. You can email them or stop by the shop on Spring Street.
Yes.
Thank you, David, so much for being here today. I congratulate you for a longevity on this business in our community.
Well, and I appreciate the opportunity to come to talk today and just let families know, and we appreciate you have a Cumberland area for supporting us in business, and we're truly grateful for the business.
Thank you so much.